hotel. I did the Iditarod Trail.
Welcome to another episode of Husky Talk. Today we are excited to talk with this year's Iditarod Rookie of the Year. Listen as we talk to her and her about ins and outs of being a rookie in the Iditarod. Please welcome to the show, Josie Tier.
Hi, Josie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I got started mushing when I was about 12 years old. I was 9 when I got my first husky and then trained her to pull and started racing when I was 12. But back when I was 9, growing up in Northern Idaho, I read Libby Riddle's book about winning the Iditarod and told my mom I wanted to do the Iditarod someday. Didn't know how that was going to happen. And been mushing dogs, like I said, racing since I was 12. And it's just kind of been a slow progression from shorter races into Iditarod qualifiers. And now finally we completed the Iditarod last year.
So what inspired you to get involved in mushing?
I love the outdoors. I love working with dogs. It's pretty rewarding to see the dogs grow and change, especially younger dogs. So, you know, a lot of times when you're training dogs from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, dogs can change a lot. And so that's a lot of fun. And then also just seeing the countries in the wintertime. I love being outdoors. And so you see a lot of animals and sights and things that you wouldn't see unless you had a snowmobile, maybe out on the trails. So I love being outside and all the weather and getting to see all those sights.
You have worked with some Iditarod icons such as Aaron Breermeister and Josie Roy. Can you talk to us about your experience working with them and the things you have learned from them?
Yeah, so I was 17 when I first came up to Alaska and worked for Aaron. And I mean, that experience was incredible because that was the first time that I pretty much ran dogs almost every day. So before then, I was not very confident out on the trail. And it was just a matter of not having been out as much. You know, I would run dogs a couple days a week, juggling school and, you know, work and things like that in high school. But when I came up to work for Aaron, my 100% of my job was helping take care of the race dogs and running the puppies and yearlings. And so I grew a lot as a musher, just getting really comfortable out there and realizing what these dogs were capable of doing. Because before then, I didn't realize that, you know, when you said whoa and you stepped on the brake, you know, they could stop very quick instead of you're like, whoa, you know, 5-10 minutes, like, come on, please stop. And I didn't realize, you know, dogs could, you know, sled dogs could be loose a little bit and things like that. So I learned a lot there just by having, you know, not only the knowledge of, you know, being surrounded by a lot of great mushers and hearing all those stories and picking up tidbits, but also just being out there and doing it. I learned pretty I learned hands-on well, so actually having to go do it and gaining that experience. And then there's a lot of things that, you know, sometimes you're told things about how to train dogs, and it might take a little bit for that to sink in. And so a couple years later, when I worked for Jesse, I'd run all my qualifiers at that point. But at that point, I was ready for kind of all that information, that knowledge that I'd learned over the couple years, to actually be able to see it. So when you talk about reading your dogs, or you talk about, you know, how to properly train the dogs and kind of fine tuning your technique, I learned a lot of that from Jesse and just watching her and getting to run her second string and be able to see side by side, because I had my dogs there as well, what my team looked like versus what, you know, a top Iditarod team looks like, and kind of learn, well, why was that, and get to play with training a little bit. And of course have Jesse there to give me advice as I was training, because I did one race with my team that winter as well. So that was both of those experiences were pretty different as far as what I was learning, but I took away a lot from that. And then from there, you know, a lot of times when you're younger, you might be really leaning on different people. If someone does something one way, you're like, oh, I'm going to do that exactly the same. But everyone kind of has a little different path. And so with mushing, it's the same way. You have to figure out what works for you. And so since working for Jesse, I've been able to kind of figure out what works for me and be a little more confident in that. And I think the dogs feed off of that, because if you're, you know, they need to know that their pack leader is you know, confident and isn't second guessing everything. And so I think that's been really helpful in letting me relax out there on the trail and just be confident that how we trained, you know, they're just going to do exactly what we trained.
So this was your rookie year in the Iditarod. In order to race in the Iditarod, you have to have certain qualifications you have to meet. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so in order to run the Iditarod, you have to complete two 300-mile races and one 200-mile race. And those, you can do more than that, but that's the minimum. And when you're racing those qualifiers, you're basically signing off ahead of time that they're qualifiers. And then the race officials, the race veterinarians, they're all kind of watching you. And I think they have some sort of scorecard. I'm not 100% sure how that piece works, but they do submit that to Iditarod after the race. So you have to be, I think there's some like a piece of, as far as like competitiveness, they want to make sure you can move down the trail in a reasonable time, but most of it's focused on how you take care of your dogs and how you do with sleep deprivation and the extreme weather and things like that. So that, you know, once you complete those, then you're allowed to actually sign up for the Iditarod.
Another specific thing to rookies is the rookie meeting in December. Can you tell us about what goes on at this meeting?
Yeah, so everyone flies in to Anchorage and we have a day of talks. And so they talk about everything from how the food drop works to dropped dog or return dogs. And so kind of how that process works, because most races when you're qualifying, you have a handler there, right? And so they just pick up your return dog and they're good to go. But obviously with the Iditarod, they're flying that back to Anchorage. And then they talk about food drops. So everything that you're sending out, Aaron Burmeister gave us a handout on that, talks about the weather, different things you might not think about. You know, there's no packing list for mushers. And so there's a lot of little things that over the years, you know, mushers have found helpful. So the Barrington sisters came in and talked about, you know, some of those sorts of things, a little bit on training and nutrition. And then, of course, the big piece was just some of the things to watch for good care of the dogs. So Stu Nelson, the chief veterinarian for Iditarod, talked about that.
After all the hard work, you finally made it to the start line. What was that feeling like once you started down the trail?
When you start down the trail, there's so much preparation going into the Iditarod. And then once you get your drop bags off, you're kind of relieved. You're like, okay, that big part is done. And then you've got, you know, the week or two leading up from the time drop bags are gone until the race. And sometimes you can be like, oh, everything's done, but you still got to keep the dogs in shape. And my last month leading up to Iditarod was pretty crazy. So by the time we got, you know, through the ceremonial start, through all the meetings and things like that, all the photos, all of that. Once we took off in Willow, it was just like this huge, just like, oh, we're out on the trail now. And so it's always a little bit of relaxation, I feel like, because at that point, if you've forgotten anything, like you're just gonna have to make do with what you sent out. And there's kind of a peacefulness in that. And then also excitement, because now you're finally moving down that trail. And especially as a rookie, you know, you're looking forward to seeing all those sights and seeing those places that you've heard about for years and years and all the stories. So I was pretty excited to just to get down the trail and see what was gonna come next.
What were some of the biggest challenges you faced on the trail, and how did you overcome them?
I think, you know, a lot of the challenge that I had was like the unknown, you know, so I didn't know what to expect, and the only thing to do there is just to keep going and take it as it comes. But you know, the trail is challenging, so you have some real technical spots. And what I found for me is to get through some of those technical spots. If I'm real uptight and gripping on the sled, you know, for dear life, which you are going to be hanging on, but if you're gripping on the sled for dear life, the dogs sense that, and if they sense you're nervous, a lot of times they don't react like they typically would. And so, because of that, kind of when you get into those more difficult spots, just kind of trying to relax and be calm for the dogs. And it's not something I can always do, but then sometimes there were spots where the dogs themselves just really surprised me. So in the blowhole, I know it wasn't, you know, the windiest that it's been or anything like that, but it was still a lot of wind for us. And I was pretty nervous about it. And in that scenario, you know, we were going to go through it. It was like, we'll make it. It's only, you know, 4 miles or whatever. But the dogs actually blew me away. They were so excited. They just charged through that, probably because they were like, let's get out of this wind. But so sometimes, you know, there was a challenge like that where it wasn't me at all. It was just the dogs were like, no, we're going. But you know, every section of trail, every run that I did had a little bit different. You know, it changes a lot. So there were different challenges, whether it was the extreme cold on the Yukon River or the technical stuff of Dalzell Gorge and the steps and things like that.
As a rookie, was there anything that surprised you on the trail?
There was as far as like where things were on the trail, because I don't know why I'd never really thought to like have the map, you know, drawn out or anything, and like, oh, this is where, you know, and write down in your, so when you're sleep deprived, you know, you forget, you know, where you are in the trail, but you forget where certain things are, like the steps or the Dalzell Gorge and things like that, a little bit. And so, I didn't, you know, the rookie going into those, I didn't really have, a great idea of like, oh, 10 miles in, you know, we're gonna hit the first step and things like that. And so I think that might have been a good thing, because if I'd have known exactly, then you'd be sitting looking at your GPS like, oh, it's coming up. Oh, we're only a mile away. But that was definitely, there was quite a bit of surprises, I guess, because then there were spots where I thought, oh, maybe that was, you know, that was the steps. And then when you actually saw the real ones, you're like, nope, that's definitely the real one.
So you finished 15th place and won the Rookie of the Year award. This is a pretty significant achievement. Talk to us about your thoughts and emotions as you finish the race.
Well, as I finished, it was pretty incredible. Like as a musher, after you've been out there for, you know, for me it was 10 days, I was very, you know, in some ways you're like ready, you're ready to get to the finish line, and that's exciting, and you know your friends are going to be there, and my sister, and that's going to be really cool, and the sunset was beautiful. But then at the same time you're like, well, I've really enjoyed just being out here with the dogs. This is fun. You get into a rhythm. And so definitely some tears, just of, you know, how proud I was of the dogs. I think that's the main thing, is I was just so proud of how they had done, and then also really thankful. I mean, so many people, especially when they came up Front Street, and I saw so many people that were there for me. You know, Aaron Burmeister and his family was there, Jesse Royer, a bunch of my friends and family, and I think just seeing them, and you know, they had been a big part of helping me get there, and so I was really thankful to get to share that with them. And it was kind of hard to explain. It was the most incredible experience I think of my life, getting to finish the Iditarod, and know that you just traveled 1,000 miles across Alaska with, you know, your dogs. And now it was the end, and it was like, oh, Wow, we did that. Because sometimes in the moment, you're not thinking so much about how long it is or how far you have to go. Even a little bit towards the end, because you're like, oh, I'm in White Mountain, just one more run. But a lot of times in the middle of the race, you're just, one run after the other, not really thinking about how far it is, just thinking, how are the dogs doing? Are they eating? Okay, I got to go get a nap now. And then I got a booty and get ready to go. So it was pretty exciting.
Can you share something with us that stands out about this experience to you?
Stands out. I mean, the whole thing really, there's so many different parts of it. It's hard to pick one specific moment, but I will say one spot kind of towards the end, since we were talking about the finish, was you're kind of going, it's pretty flat once you come out of the Top Cock Hills and you go through the blowhole and then you pass Safety Roadhouse and then it's pretty flat for a bit and you see the Nome sign 20 miles and you're like, okay. And it looks pretty flat, but then you go up and over Cape Nome instead of just staying on the road. And I think that was pretty cool because it was like, this is our last hill. Like, this is the last big hill. We're gonna go up and over this and then we're gonna be able to see Nome. And coming over that kind of right at sunset was really, really special. Just to get to see, you can see the ocean, the ice, and Nome in the distance. And it was just a pretty special time. And then a little bit later, because when you're out there running your dogs, you have your run schedule and you have your snack schedule. And I was like, okay, we're getting close to Nome, probably don't need to give them a snack, because they're going to get one as soon as we finish. But it was a little longer than I thought. And I was like, and we were kind of by the road. And I was like, this is almost over. So I'm going to go ahead and stop and give them a snack. And so we stopped. And people along the road probably wondered what we were doing, but just stopped and gave them a snack and gave them, some extra pets and let them know how good they were. And, that was kind of a special, just kind of a quiet little moment on the trail before we got into the finish and all the excitement there.
Looking ahead, what are your future goals as a musher?
Future goals is Iditarod 2025, and continuing to run the Iditarod and run races to help prepare us for the Iditarod. I'm raising, hopefully, a bunch of puppies this year, so have some younger dogs in the coming years, and that always gets me super excited because my favorite part of mushing really is training those younger dogs and watching them go from a little puppy that fits in your lap to maybe a 60 or even 80-pound dog that's running thousands of miles every year. So pretty excited about that, and it might takes a couple of years to raise those puppies and get them ready for Iditarod. So definitely Iditarod next year, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
Finally, we have the Iditarod Fast Five. We have five di different Iditarod topics we'd like you to try and answer as fast as you can.
Favorite musher?
Oh, favorite musher. I think I would have to say Jessie Royer. She has really inspired me a lot, and she's just toughest woman I know.
Favorite Iditarod book.
Definitely Race Across Alaska by Libby Riddles.
Favorite checkpoint.
Oh, that one's really hard. But I love to eat, and I have to say this year Elam had the most amazing salmon, and they had donuts and cinnamon rolls, so it's hard to beat that. But I heard Over had prime ribs, so that could, change next year.
Favorite volunteer.
Oh, there are so many volunteers out there. I don't think I could pick just one. I mean, everyone I interacted with was so nice. Everyone from, the checkers to, one of them in Shaktulik gave up their bunk because there wasn't any bunks for the mushers, and I don't even remember what his name was. I was so tired. To even in the Nome dog yard. So every volunteer that I talked with, they were just all amazing.
Favorite former champion?
Former champion. Oh, That's a hard one. I would say I think that, I mean, I guess former and current champion Dallas. I think that it's just incredible what he does with his dogs, and to have won it 6 times. And I think he's fantastic for our sport. He's very articulate, and it's pretty cool to see. You know, if you watch some of his YouTube videos and stuff with the dogs, like, he has a really tight bond with the dogs, and that's always really special to see with any musher, but especially cool with him.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Josie.
Thank you for having me.
Special thanks to our guest, Josie Tier, for being on our show this week. If you enjoyed this episode, please stop by iTunes and leave us a review. It helps with our ratings. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or people you'd like to hear on the show, email us at huskytalk1@gmail.com. If we hear from you or you leave a review, we will read it on the show.
We would like to also give credit to Hobo Jim for our intro song, the Iditarod Trail song, and our outro song,
Here's to
Running
Joan,
Canoe
it's
Glen.
off we go. In the land of the midnight sun. They call this race the Iditarod Trail. To me, it's Reddington's run. In my heart, it's Reddington's run.